is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust, O God, created man, he is our God, the great I am. There was a long, long time ago a God whose voice the prophet heard. He is that God that we should know, who speaks from his inspired word. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live, and we survive. From dust our God created man, he is our God, the great I am. Secure is life from mortal mind. God, oh, the germ within his hand. Though men may search, they cannot find. For God alone does understand. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live, and we survive. From dust our God created man, he is our God, the great I am. Our God, whose Son upon a tree our life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set men free and evermore with him could live. There is a God. He is alive, in him we live, and we survive. From dust our God created man, he is our God, the great I am.
Pleasant morning to all. Let's go to God in prayer. Merciful, loving God, we are truly thankful, dear God, for this opportunity to come into this place, dear God, to offer worship. We acknowledge, my God, your greatness, your power, and your glory. We acknowledge, my God, that you are the creator of this great universe and all therein. You, dear God, are worthy of our praise. We lift high your holy name. We adore you, O God. We love you. We come recognizing, dear God, that yours, the heaven, the earth, your God, are worthy of our praise. We come recognizing, dear God, that you have spared our lives to see this day. Not because we have been good people. Not because we have been obedient to you. Not because, dear God, you are pleased with our actions. Your spirit of life, dear God, mainly on your grace, your mercy, and your patience, giving us, our God, an opportunity to make it right with you. Through Jesus Christ, my God, who you sent to the cross of Calvary for our sins, we can have hope. We can have a better relationship with you. We give you thanks, dear God, for this great sacrifice, Jesus Christ dying for our sins, giving us the opportunity, dear God, to redeem, to be reconciled, and to have a relationship with you. We come giving thanks, dear God, for your Holy Spirit, who help us, O God, to make, who makes intercession, dear God, on our behalf. We give you thanks for this great opportunity. We come, dear God, recognize that we have missed the mark, and we have traveled contrary to your will, and we ask for your forgiveness. Because we know, dear God, we have sinned, the things we do, and the things we think, and the things we say. We ask, dear God, forgiveness. We ask, dear God, for cleansing. Cleanse us, O God, from all unrighteousness. We ask, dear God, for guidance. We realize, dear God, that you have not dealt with us according to our sins, neither have you rewarded us according to our iniquities. We give you thanks, dear God, for this. Help us, O God, that those sins that so easily beset us do not have dominion over us. Help us, O God, to examine every day, each hour, whether we be in the faith. Help us, O God, to strive always to know your words so that we can rightly divide them. Help us, O God, to give more earnest heed to things we have learned, lest any time we let them slip. Help us, O God, always to remember that in not our desire to trample on the word of God, but help us, O God, to live out your word each day. Help us, O God, to be salt of the earth and the light of the world. Help us, O God, to obey your will, to love you more, to be more faithful. Recognize, dear God, that you're always faithful to us, even when we are faithless. We come, dear God, asking for strength as we travel this road. For each and every member of your body, we ask to help us, O God, to be people more caring, people more sharing, people more forgiving, people more loving. Help us, O God, to be your brother's keeper. Help us, O God, that this mind that in us will be the mind that is in Christ. Help us always, dear God, to strive to be pleasing in your sight. Help us always, dear God, to live a thankful life because you have been good to us in so many ways. So many persons who are ill have overcome, are partially overcome. So many, my God, who have challenged of one sort or the other, have overcome and sometimes partially overcome. We ask, my God, for those who have lost loved ones and have grieved for many years or many months, are doing better now. Nevertheless, dear God, we come bringing all these to you. Those who are ailing, we still need, my God, who still need your attention, we bring them to you in a special way. And in my name this morning, dear God, that we mention, we ask, my God, that just be with them in a special way. That you work, my God, to the doctors and to the medication, and it's your will, O God, to bring about healing. Those who have lost loved ones, my God, in recent time, we ask for help for them. The Myers, the Johnsons, Brown, the family of the late Sister Brenda, and the many others, the walkers, we ask, my God, that you continue to give them strength as they mourn their loss. And help us, O God, to be of encouragement and support to them. We ask, my God, your blessing on those who are shut in, members who cannot come out to be with us in worship. We ask, my God, that you bless them in a special way. But help us, O God, to be of encouragement and support to them, to visit them, their God, and to encourage them. We ask, my God, the blessing on our young people. As they struggle with the ups and downs of this life, dear God, we ask that you help them to overcome the struggles that this life offers. But help us, O God, also to be of encouragement and support to them. We bring to you, my God, O young converts, as they start this new journey, O God, they need the help and the strength. Help us to do so, my God, and we ask for your assistance. We ask, my God, to be with our minister as they come this morning, that you may guide his mind, help him, O God, remember those things that he has studied. So, my God, share in a way that we be all understand. We ask, my God, direction of our song leader. Direct me in a way, my God, that you will motivate and strengthen the congregation. We ask, my God, the blessing on the many programs here. As we develop programs, my God, to uplift your work, we ask for your direction and for your help. We ask a blessing, my God, on those overseas. We ask a blessing on those who are traveling overseas and locally. We ask for your guidance and to give them traveling mercies. We ask to bless, my God, on our government as they strive to deal with this pandemic. Give them the wisdom, dear God, that they need to do the right things. But we know, dear God, you all things is in your hand. And there's nothing, my God, that you cannot take control of. You can calm the sea and the winds. You, my God, in your own time, will do what pleases you. We give you thanks, dear God, knowing that all things, nothing is impossible with you. Amen. And we ask, my God, nothing is hard for you to do for your people. But help us, O God, remain faithful regardless of the challenges that we face in this life. Help us to walk always with you in a way that is pleasing to you. Guide us now as we try to worship you. Help us to work that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
At this time, we will invite Brother Chad Wilson to come and read the morning scripture.
Good morning, everyone. Today's scripture reading will be taken from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is a portion of God's word, and we'll praise it together by saying amen.
At this time, we invite Brother Webb to come and teach us God's word.
Good morning, brethren. We are again blessed to be in the house of God for the express purpose to worship and honor Him. And we are truly happy at this opportunity. We want this week to continue our look as we studied last week from the book of Philippians, we will do so again today. And for those who were not here last week, then the lesson was, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. But if I'm to retitle the lesson, and even though it will be a continuation of last week, then we would title it The Attitude of Humility. Because as we studied last week on the subject, let this mind be in you, then it became clear to us that amid all the Christian principles, amid all the characteristics of Christianity, love, encouragement, fellowship, being like-minded, what we saw emerging in the discourse of Paul in the second book of Philippians is that the attitude of humility is very important to the Almighty God. Can we have again Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so in this verse, it becomes clear to us that humility, or the mind that Christ spoke of, let this mind be in you, really speaks to an attitude, and it is hedged and seated in that of Jesus Christ, because Christ is our ultimate example and demonstration of humility. Just pause a sec for me. I'm going to just ask Latoy. I left my glasses in the car. So if you could just. All right. It's under the, where I normally have the mask. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I need four eyes to deliver this message. All right. But I can survive for a while. So, when we studied last week, we recognized that the verse starts off with the word let. And we highlighted that the responsibility of achieving this attitude is ours. As Paul wrote to his audience in Philippi, it's almost like he was saying, let. Or you let, not somebody else that should let, but you should let this attitude of humility reside in you. And going further in that word let is the idea that you should allow. You should not cause anything to prevent you from having this spirit of humility. This attitude of humility. And we had gone to the book of Galatians in that setting where we saw leaders in the church, people like Paul, Peter, and James, and they had to confront truth. Paul had to. He confronted Peter. And in that confrontation, we realize that pride could have taken a stage that would have inhibited, thank you, would have inhibited the work of the ministry. But as we look through the writings of these characters, James, Peter, and Paul himself, as we are seeing here, then we recognize that they all joined in. That the attitude, the characteristic of humility, is one that the Christian should seek for. And so we saw James saying, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. We saw Peter echoing, clothe yourselves with humility. And then we had Peter again, as he continued that statement, says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. But we want to, this week, focus on what Christ had to say. What Christ demonstrated in respect to this attitude of humility. Now, Jesus Christ not only, I still have a reader now? The mic is on? Okay. So we pick up at Galatians, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, and a few verses after.
Let this mind be in you. Which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery.
Did not think that it was some type of robbery to be equal with God. And this is an important thing for us to understand, that Christ Jesus is God. There was nothing inferior about him when compared to the Holy Spirit and with God the Father. He's God. Not a demigod, not a semigod. He is fully God. You know, there was nothing, he wasn't going to be robbing anything to say that he was equal with God. So he held a high place. But we're going to see that he humbled himself. Read on.
But made himself of no reputation.
But made himself of no reputation.
And took upon him the form of a servant.
He took upon him the form of a servant.
And
it's like Jesus Christ downgraded himself. Here he is as God. But he downgraded himself to man. He made himself of no reputation. He became a nobody. Well, I shouldn't say a nobody. It's almost like he took away his godness for us. He took away his deity for us. Because in becoming a body, he stripped himself of some God qualities. And so God, Jesus Christ, made himself of no reputation. He became a servant. He downgraded himself to man. Read on.
And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man.
Okay. He was found in fashion as a man.
He humbled himself.
And you know, we made this point last week, but we say it again. Because when we had looked at "let this mind be in you," we again want to emphasize that this is your responsibility. Yeah. Notice that Christ found himself in this situation, but he humbled himself. Amen. So he took ownership. It was self-responsibility that I am going to humble myself. And I say to us that it is our responsibility to develop, to nurture the spirit of humility.
Amen. Amen.
It is not something that we should be forced to do. It should be voluntary. That we should want to embody this lowliness of mind. To recognize that in the presence of God and in the scheme of things, we are really cast down. It is that we are based. And in contrast, there is nothing for us to puff up ourselves about. There's nothing in this that we should feel proud and all that.
Yeah.
And a bag of chips. You know, I keep using that term and I don't even understand. It's on a bag of chips. You know, we are not all that. We should be humble in the sight of God. And we want to recognize that in Jesus Christ, his humility was a decision that he made.
Yeah.
That it was a decision driven by love for us. It's a decision because he wanted to save us.
Amen.
This decision to humble himself, to cast down, to downgrade himself, was because of mercy. And I say to us that this demonstration of humility by Jesus Christ was because of a serious purpose. A plan of God to save man. So let us not treat lightly this spirit, this attitude of humility. But you know, one of the things we want to get out of this lesson is that humility has always been demanded of God. You know, we had looked last week at some of the writings of the wise man Solomon and others. You know, our Christian journey demands an attitude and a mind of humility. And all the, in addition to the three apostles that we looked at last week, we will see that all the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all seem to have chiseled out, put in a segment of their writing something about humility. A lot of this was embraced in the teachings themselves of Christ, but in some situation, a demonstration of humility. And so, being humble is something that as Christians, we should always engender. That we should always seek to plow up. That we should seek to encourage in our lives. You know, Jesus Christ, we are saying and we are seeing from the book of Philippians, is the ultimate example of humility. But he also taught it in words. And as Jesus Christ sojourned this land, he taught many things. But one of the things we are going to see that as he spoke to the issue of humility, that we will see that humility transcends, permeates, filters, and goes through our entire breath of existence. And so in Luke chapter 14, verse 11, you know, the writer Luke joins in with Peter and the others, and he says that we should humble ourselves. And he says in verse 11,
For whosoever exalted himself.
So that's the contrast. So if we are to try to understand what humility is, then it is not exalting ourselves, but being lowly, as we said. Read.
Shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself.
He that humbleth himself.
Shall be exalted.
And, you know, if we are to look at the context of this, I will jump up to about verse 8. You know, and what we are going to see, you know, while I'm really looking at what the gospel writers said about humility, what we are going to see is the relevance of humility, you know, in so many facets of our existence. And in this case with Luke, you know, what we see is that even in social gatherings, even as we interact one with another, that a spirit and an attitude of humility goes a far way. Pick up at verse 8. Read quickly.
When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding.
So you are invited to a function. All right? Then, you know, there are things we call protocol and so forth that you should observe. And Christ is highlighting this to us now. So he says, if you are bidden to a wedding or some big function, read.
Sit not down in the highest room.
Don't go and big up yourself. All right? Step up to the podium. You got a special invitation, you know, and you probably in your mind believe that, boy, the way them give me this pretty invitation and write I write my name upon it, then me going to be something big. So when I come now and I'm all dressed up, I'm going to step up on the top.
VIP.
Yeah, VIP. I'm a VIP and I'm a very VIP. VVIP. But Jesus Christ is teaching a principle. Even in that situation where you get that special invitation, when you go, what?
Sit not down in the highest room.
Don't go on the highest room.
Lest. A more honorable man than thou.
You don't know who else.
Be bidden of him.
So because it's not that you are not important, you know. But you don't know who else. So take your lower seat. Because when somebody in the hierarchy of things higher than you come, you're going to feel shame now. When you have to. They have to take you from the high seat and tell you to go sit. So even when you go to the second row, the second level seat, you're going to feel bad for the whole. Well, if you're not humble. All right, so you see, it works all kind of way. So what we are seeing here is that this attitude of humility does not only span and find its way as we relate to God, but even as we relate one to another. In the quest for knowledge and for truth, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 4, again, here we see Matthew teaching and joining in with the importance of humility. And he says,
Whosoever therefore
shall humble himself
as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
So here we see another writer joining in about the importance of humility. But here's the context. If we pick up at verse 1, you see that this is Christ, by the way, this is Christ saying these things, you know. And the disciples question him. And what was the question? Pick up at verse 1.
At the same time,
Matthew 18, verse 1, yes.
Came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom
of
heaven?
Who is the greatest in the kingdom? And, you know, for time's sake, we won't read back right through. So Jesus is now answering them. They were in a quest for the truth. They wanted knowledge. And I'm saying to us that even as we seek truth, as we seek to understand things concerning the kingdom of God, as we seek to understand what is our end game in respect to our existence here in life and what will be in the afterlife, that we should embrace the attitude of humility. There are a lot of truth that we may not grasp. Why? Because we do not take on that spirit, that attitude of humility. When we study the word of God, brethren, and it demands of us to empty ourselves and allow God to take the preeminence, the first place, then, brothers and sisters, it takes humility. Because we really think that we are all that and a bag of chips. You know, for many of us, it took a long time to realize that we are not the center of the universe. That it's not all about us. And the word of God, more than anything else, teaches us that we are really filthy rats. Did the scripture say, you know, all the righteousness that we can muster up, when we reach where we think it's righteousness, treat that like nothing. Dirty rag to be thrown away. So even in the quest for truth, in matters concerning the kingdom, we should demonstrate humility. Matthew again carved out a part of his writings and recollected Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12. And he again echoed that he that humbleth himself is at a good place. And it says in verse 12,
And whosoever
shall exalt himself, the contrast we're seeing again,
shall be abased.
Realize that this is not really this. I'm not at the same passage, you know. When we had talked about exalt and humble, we're at Luke. But now we have Matthew saying the same thing. And he's, don't exalt yourself. And he continues to say,
and he that shall humble himself,
for he that will humble himself,
Shall be exalted.
He that humble himself shall be exalted. That was the end of verse 12. So even, all right, for time's sake, I won't get into the background. But as we are seeing the relevance of humility in social gathering, as in the quest for truth in the church and in the kingdom, we should always humble ourselves. And let me, for completeness, jump to Luke chapter 18 and verse 14, where Luke the writer says, "He that humbleth himself." Again, he joins in. Verse 14.
"And thou shalt be blessed."
"And thou shalt be blessed."
"For they cannot recompense thee."
Luke 18, 14.
I tell you,
yes,
this man went down to his house justified.
This man went down to his house justified.
Rather than the other.
For everyone
that exalteth
himself
shall be abased. And he that continues to humble himself shall be exalted.
And, you know, again, the background here, if we went up a few verses, we'll recognize that this was the situation with the publican. All right, when he prayed, and the Pharisee when he prayed, and Christ's commentary was that because the publican was humble, then he was demonstrating the right attitude. And though even though the Pharisee looked like he was all that and a bag of chips, he really was nothing. And so, even in our prayers, brethren, we need to take on a posture of humility. We need to recognize that as we approach Almighty God, that we should be based. That we are really cast down. And that in His sight, we are really nothing. We ought to be poor in spirit. Christ Himself said that to you. That of ourselves, there's nothing great and big. And so in our worship, brethren, just as in our quest for truth, just as in our journey through the kingdom, through the church, and even in the social realm, the attitude of humility should never be minimized. The attitude of humility should always be something that we cultivate, that we mulch up, and allow to flourish and grow and develop so that we can be the type of persons who we should be. The relevance of humility rings through and through. It's echoed by the gospel writers, and then somebody says, "But Brother Webb, didn't you say that all the gospel writers, but you only stop at Luke, Matthew?" Well, Luke and Matthew? What about John? What about Mark? And I sort of like Mark's, how Mark sort of does his humility venture, if I could put it that way. Because what he did was to show us demonstrated humility. And if we can quickly go to Mark chapter 7, another brother, Mark chapter 5, then we see in Mark 7, verse 24 and 25, as well as in Mark 5, verse 22 and 23, that though he may not have used the word humility, the concept of them approaching Jesus Christ and falling at his feet is a demonstration of their humility. And so we have at least these two characters The Greek woman, I leave the brothers to struggle to pronounce her name. In Mark chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, it says,
"And from thence he arose."
And from thence he arose.
"And went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon."
Yes.
"And entered into an house."
Yeah, he entered into an house.
"And would have no man know it, mm-hmm. but he could not be hid. For a certain woman,
a Greek woman,
whose young daughter had an unclean spirit,
yes,
heard of him,
yes,
and came and fell at his feet."
Yes, she came and she fell at his feet. That's a demonstration of humility. When we are in need, can I encourage us to fall at the feet of Jesus Christ? Whatever our needs are, let us demonstrate that attitude of humility. Let us not try to solve it by ourselves, but recognize that we need Christ, that we need the Godhead to help us in our struggles. Let us fall at the feet of Jesus Christ, says Mark. And in Mark chapter 5 and verse 22, we see a similar thing.
And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue.
Yeah, ruler of the synagogue.
Jairus,
that's his name.
And when he saw him, he fell at his feet.
When he saw him, he had a need. And when he saw Christ, he fell at his feet.
And besought him greatly.
Yeah, and he exalted him greatly. We should recognize, and you know, when we came up here, we said the opportunity to worship God. When we come, we should take on that posture. Amen. And in our lives, we should embrace that attitude where we recognize that God is exalted and we are lowly. Amen. And humble ourselves just as Christ humbled himself. So that was Mark. But I also like John. Because John again used Christ as an example. And in John chapter 13 and verse 5, we see Jesus Christ demonstrating humility.
After that,
so this is the washing of feet, you know, and you know, I'll make sure I try to carry this part of the lesson in such a way that I don't have to go and tell you now that we don't set up the wash tub to wash each other's feet, because that really wasn't the central message. The message was really humility. And John went there. Pick up again.
After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet.
So this is Jesus now. This is Jesus, and he began to wash his disciples' feet. Read.
And to wipe them with the towel.
Yes, him a wash and wipe.
Wherewith he was girded.
Read. Don't slow. Just continue reading.
Then cometh he to Simon Peter.
So him reach now to Simon Peter.
And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?
say, Christ, you are the exalted one. I have learnt my lesson. I need to be humble. You going to wash my feet? Read on.
Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter.
So he was teaching him a lesson in what true humility and service is. I say one of the things I didn't highlight it as much, but the greatest among us is he who serves. Because sometimes we get it all mixed up. Because it's almost like it's almost like we'd want to say, because I am great in the kingdom, then I am doing no service. But really, who should stand tall is who is working. And so the more we do in the kingdom, is the greater we are seen by Almighty God. And it's not just coming up in the pulpit. It's what is done behind the scenes in the kingdom of God. But let me hasten on for time's sake, because I really want to get back to Philippians chapter 2. Don't forget what the lesson is all about. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we had stepped through the fact that humility in Christ Jesus is taught. It's a taught thing in deeds. For Jesus Christ demonstrated, as he was doing in John, humility. But he had also taught it, as we saw, as we looked at the various gospel writers. And as we had stepped through, we realized that he had made himself of no reputation. He became a servant. He downgraded himself. He humbled himself. Now let's pick up at verse 8 of Philippians chapter 2. Verse 8.
And being found in fashion.
And being found
in fashion as a man.
In fashion as a man.
He humbled himself.
He humbled himself.
And became obedient.
And you're saying, Brother Webb, didn't you come here, sir, already and talk about this? Well, yes, I did. But there's some other things I want us to get out of this. Because, yes, Christ took self-responsibility. It was voluntary. It was a decision driven by love, mercy, and purpose. But I want us to recognize that we too should humble ourselves. Because this is the mind, this is the attitude that God wants us to demonstrate. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so, start again for me in verse 8.
And being found in fashion as a man.
All right, stop. And being found. Yes. We have been talking about Christ. Christ being found in fashion as a man did some things. He humbled himself. Can I take the spotlight off of Christ just for a little bit and turn it on me and you? Just for a minute. Jesus Christ, yes, being found in fashion as a man. That term, being found. Where are we found? What is happening with us right now? Being found. What is your challenge right now? You have found yourself in a situation. Yes. What are we going to do about it? You see, because as we go through this life, we find ourselves in different situations. Where are you found right now? You see, sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we are in charge. I'm in charge. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we are well off, we're rich, you know. What Brother Wilson was telling me about himself a few years ago, he probably don't remember. And he said, Yeah, man, my money, ha, ha. Yeah? Sometimes that is the state that we are found. But sometimes, brethren, we are found in situations where we can't make ends meet. Being found, where are you? Sometimes we are in a place where we are right. You know, we're debating. And then at the end of it, you know, I was right. So you are found right. That's a place that you are being found in this place. Sometimes you are found, though, to be wrong. Sometimes we are found to be ignorant. Sometimes we are right. Sometimes we are wrong. Sometimes we are in the right way. But whatever the state that we find ourselves, I'm encouraging us, brethren, let us be humble. Let us be humble. Being found in the fashion of a man, Christ Jesus, he what? Humbled himself. If we are found to be rich, let us humble ourselves.
Amen.
If we are found in a state where we are poor, let us humble ourselves. If in a situation that there is conflict, we can't see eye to eye, and then it is found that I am the one right, let us not flaunt it, but let us humble ourselves.
Amen.
But in that dynamics, it could be that I am wrong.
Yes.
Let us humble ourselves.
Yeah.
Being found, where are you found, brethren? Wherever we are found, we should humble ourselves.
Yeah.
Are you the boss? Humble yourself.
Amen.
Are you the employed? Humble yourselves.
Yeah.
It is an attitude that we should engender. No matter where we are found. You know, in the church, there are different roles. And sometimes if you listen to this course, it's almost like persons who want to say, you know, are you saying that because I'm a woman, I cannot come up here and preach? I cannot take on leadership? Being found as a woman in the church, amidst all your abilities, there are certain roles that are not for you. Humble yourselves. But you know something? In every situation, God has a purpose. In everything, God has a plan for us, just as in humbling Jesus Christ, in causing him to empty himself of godness and to take on the fashion of a man, he was doing this because of a purpose. And we do not know the purpose that God has for you and for me. God has a plan. A lot of times in our illnesses, he has a plan. Are you being found sick? God has a plan. Careful the attitude we have towards our illness. Humble ourselves that God knows best. What is the challenge? Sometimes things are of such that we are depressed. We feel weighed down. But in the midst of that, I say to us, as I say to myself, let us humble ourselves in the sight of God. being found. Being found at the outside. Let us humble ourselves and come back home. Are we still at verse 8?
He humbled himself.
He humbled himself.
And became obedient.
And became obedient.
Unto death. Even the death.
Stop. Being found in a particular state, he humbled himself and became obedient. Jesus Christ became obedient to the point that he died. He died the cruel death of Calvary. He faced the cross of Calvary. He was hung on that cross. He suffered, not for a minute or two or even five, but for hours. He was on that cross in pain and anguish. It was not a pretty state. But he humbled himself. When we think that Jesus Christ could have commanded tens of thousands of angels to help him.
Yes.
But the love that he had for you,
yes,
and for me,
yeah,
he humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself.
Amen.
Jesus Christ did that because he wanted to save us. Because there's nothing that we could do to save our own selves.
Preach, brother.
And so Jesus Christ died that wicked death.
Yeah.
He was buried. And thank God he's resurrected on
high. Amen, amen.
But the point is that being found, he humbled himself. Are we prepared to humble ourselves in the sight of God? Are we prepared to be obedient to his will? If you are in the hearing of my voice and you have not obeyed the gospel, you have not obeyed the plan of salvation, then today is as good a day as any to humble yourselves in obedience. Because having heard that Jesus Christ emptied himself, came and lived among us, no God quality reputation.
Yeah.
No longer omniscient, no longer omnipresent, but limited in time and space. Christ emptied himself of all of those intrinsic qualities of being God and came and lived a humble life on earth.
Yeah.
Christ having done that, why? Because we could not save ourselves.
Yeah.
It took the blood of Jesus Christ to do that. If having heard that, you believe that he is in fact God, the Son of God, sent to die for you and for me, then you can make that change today in repentance. Make that turn that it won't be exalted me anymore, but humbled me.
Yes.
If you are willing to turn your back on sin and follow after Jesus Christ, then you can do that today. That's repentance. Confessing Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Oh boy. Time. Can we quickly, we're still in Philippians chapter 2. Because this issue of confession is something that is very important. You have to do it, either now or later. You see, because Jesus Christ humbled himself, then some things happened. And I want to encourage us that we too should humble ourselves, because in the humility there comes a rising. And when Jesus Christ humbled himself, where are you? Verse 9?
Verse 9.
Read.
Wherefore?
Wherefore?
God also hath highly exalted him.
All right, you have to read at the end of verse 8 for us to get the understanding. Because he, being found himself in the fashion of a servant, he humbled himself.
And became obedient unto death.
And became obedient unto death.
Even the death of the cross.
Even the death of the cross.
Wherefore?
Wherefore? Because of this. For this reason. Because he humbled himself. What?
God also hath highly exalted him.
Has exalted him.
And given him.
Are you ready for your exalting? Before you can be ready for your exalting from Almighty God, then we must first humble ourselves.
Amen.
Jesus Christ humbled himself.
Yes.
And he was exalted. Read.
And was given his name.
And was given
him a name which is above every name.
A name that is bigger, greater, higher than any other name. Read.
That at the name of Jesus.
That at the name of Jesus Christ.
Every knee shall bow.
At the name of Jesus Christ.
Every knee shall bow.
Remember where I left off? We're talking about confession. At the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee.
Should bow.
Shall bow.
Of things in heaven.
Of things in heaven.
And things in earth.
Yes, read.
And things under the earth.
Read.
And that every tongue
every
should
tongue.
Confess.
So what we're saying is that as we are obedient to the word of God, that we need to confess Jesus Christ. If not now, later. Why not do it now? Why not humble yourselves now? Confessing his name. Because every tongue will have to confess that he is Lord. But in our obedience, if we are not Christians, then we too must get in touch with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in baptism. Because in baptism, we die and we are buried and we rise again, newness of life. Are you prepared to be obedient? Obedience demands humility. Being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Are you prepared to be obedient? Can I talk to us Christians?
Yes.
Are we being obedient? We too have to humble ourselves because not because we have now come up out of the water and we are enjoying newness of life, meaning that everything is just okay. Yeah. We have struggles nonetheless.
Amen.
But we have to continually being humble and being obedient.
Amen.
What are we being asked of Almighty God to do that is a challenge?
Amen.
Let us humble ourselves. Let us work at it, recognizing that, yes, it may seem hard, but God will help us in everything that God has asked us to do. If we take on an attitude of humility, if we are prepared to be obedient, he will help us through.
Amen. Amen.
What is the struggle? Where are you found? You know, was it John chapter 12 and verse 1? And he has given us the power to become the sons of God. God will give us the power to become. We can be obedient no matter what. We might have found ourselves in a bad spot. Yes. Because we are not perfect. We make mistakes. But being found in that state does not mean that we should stay there. Let us repent. Humble ourselves. Be obedient. Let the church pray for and with you. Let us all humble ourselves. We are not all that and a bag of chips. We are frail. We make mistakes. But God will help us. He will give us the power to become. Look at what happened with Christ. He humbled himself. And what God did? God exalted him. Are you ready, brethren, for God's exalting? First, humble ourselves, even unto obedience. Let us humble ourselves in the sight of God. In the eyes of God, let us be humble. All right, I'm going to stop right here. We are going to ask the song leader to come with a song of invitation. But we want to recognize that humility has always been demanded of God. Our Christian journey demands an attitude and a mind of humility. All the gospel writers pointed to and documented this mindset of humility. Peter, James, and John all encouraged this mind and attitude. Christ himself not only taught it, but lived it. Let this mind, brethren, be in you, the attitude of humility. The song, brother, song number? 455. Let us be standing as we have that song of encouragement. Don't treat it lightly. The spirit, the attitude of humility, God has placed it in high regard. Will you?
Lord, we come before thee now. At thy feet we humbly bow. Oh, do not our soul disdain. Shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? Shall we seek thee? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself.